coming to save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems. Home improvement problems, that is. Send an email now to robbie@mightyhouse.net or call into the show at 847-475-1590. From foundation leaks to roof repairs, the Mighty House team is on the job. You're listening to Mighty House.
Good morning, Chicago. Whoa, that sounds... You got that? I am Ron Cowgill. The Mighty House team is on the air. This is where we discuss all your home improvement issues, from foundation leaks to roof repairs. Do you have a problem with your house and don't know what to do? You can give us a call, 847-475-1590. Maybe you need to know how to install a tile floor, repair a plumbing problem, replace a switch or an outlet. Give us a call, 847-475-1590. That number again, 847-475-1590. We've got open phones right now, so get your questions in. In the first hour, we've got the Mighty House Tip of the Week with Rich Cowgill. In the second hour, we'll be talking with the boys from Mister's Floor and, of course, Clutter Clarity with Robbie Earhart. In the third hour, we'll be talking with Gail Wallace, and she's president of Restoration Works and also Lightwave Stripping. And they do window repairs and stuff. Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. Yeah, yeah, Robbie, yeah.
It's stripping.
Stripping, paint stripping, varnishing, you know, they strip it down to the bare wood again.
Cool.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool stuff. And, of course, your phone calls the entire 3 hours. Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. You can find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe, and you can learn more at MrFloor.com. And, of course, that drawing is at the end of every show. And with that, you want to give us a call back, Rich, on the Skype?
Sure, I can do that. We'll do the Skype thing.
Yep.
Good morning.
I unplugged all the other cameras.
Good morning.
Yeah, I figured to get it by default.
Yes.
Why did you unplug all the cameras?
Because you guys keep coming in upside down.
So what?
Oh, see, now that's the one camera I didn't unplug. That's perfect. It's good. Where you can see Ben. Yeah. See, it's that one. It ended up coming up on that one now.
All right.
So, is that the only one left plugged in?
That could be too.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll get that worked out. And let's see.
We got a call.
I see that.
He's okay. Preoccupied right now.
Yes, I am. That's
well, you cool. Just put the caller on and Rich and I will take care of it.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Who is it?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I can't see the screen.
Well, let's let Trixie do her job. And then in the meantime, we can start.
Oh, she hasn't even.
Right. Ben is jumping the gun. Oh,
Ben just meant the phone was ringing then. Yeah. He didn't mean that we were all loaded up.
I was excited, that's all.
It could just be Trixie's little... little boy toy.
Exactly.
We used to do that when we first started doing radio shows.
Yeah.
You'd get a call and it was like, you know, like a new sales or something,
right.
You know, you'd be like, ooh.
Yeah.
And, you know, and my producer would go, it's a wrong number. Relax.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now it's like, it just keeps ringing. That's fine.
Yeah. Let it go. So Saw Stop, it was the first thing that we ran into. Saw.
Stop.
Stop.
To cut your to
saw
prevent
stop.
Cutting your fingers off.
Yes.
That's what I'm thinking of.
It's a table saw.
Exactly what it is.
It's a table saw that will not cut you. Instead, it stops the blade instantly, and you might get a nick on your finger, but that'd be about it.
And when they would demo those, they'd use hot dogs, and it would not even cut the casing of a hot dog.
Correct.
That's how well they worked. But I think the guy screwed up marketing it anyway, because instead of making it inexpensive, giving himself a decent profit, he wanted to charge a lot of money. It was not retrofit, and he was trying to get laws passed that it had to be on every saw.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, so all the manufacturers resisted them because obviously it would break their price point on their saws.
Right. Right.
So one company went out and did their own thing then, yes?
Yes. So what happened was Bosch came up with their own called Reax. And I don't know if they were actually on sale here yet or not. I think they were actually selling them for a little bit.
Yeah.
But then they ended up having to, you know, it's a patent infringement. And what happened was SawStop won their patent infringement. So now Bosch is no longer allowed to sell the Reax table saw here. So I guess everybody will go to Canada and buy one if they want one.
So I think that we talked about this a long time ago, mm-hmm. and you guys were saying you could put a mm-hmm. hot dog there, mm-hmm. and it'll stop at a hot dog.
Yes.
And
yes, but it does ruin your saw.
Yes.
How does it ruin your saw?
The brake.
Well, the brake actually flies directly into the blade, so usually it'll mess up the blade, could bend the arbor, and then the saw stop has to be replaced. It's not like it works over and over. It's a one-shot deal. Now, granted, it beats the hell out of losing fingers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd rather buy a new table saw, but it does trash your table saw.
How does something stop that fast? I mean, if you're breaking a car that's going that fast, you're still going to move for a while.
Right.
What makes something stop that fast?
They have a
technology
sensor.
As a GFI outlet.
It's a sensor in there. As soon as it senses electricity that's not going through the blade properly, it slams this block of aluminum into the blade, and it snaps it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as fast as, you know how when you plug in your GFI and it shorts out and it'll just trip instantly, and you don't get shocked. It's the same thing. The ground fault interrupters that are in your kitchen.
But that's feels electricity, Rich?
It senses that.
But
well, I don't know exactly how the technology works. I think that's the easiest way to explain it is that it's got sensing technology, and I'm sure it is electrical current. And if it changes, you know, feels any change or whatever, then it stops. But
yeah. So it's
pretty
amazing
in a way.
It is, because it's just even that split second. So,
but like I said, I have a big 10-inch. I know, but I have a big 10-inch table saw, cabinet saw, and I can't buy a saw stop for it. In other words, they don't make it where you can add it. This guy went about trying to make it a law that it had to be on every saw. So it wasn't, you know, hey, I'm going to sell this to as many people as I can and save some fingers.
Mm-hmm.
It's more, I want everybody to have to buy it. And so his attitude kind of sucked. So it didn't really bother me that
it didn't go through.
Bosch went and had to do their own thing. And,
right.
You know, so now this guy's got the U.S. locked up. But Bosch, like you said, I can go to Canada and buy a saw now order it from Canada.
Yeah, or Mexico. You could probably get one there, too, if you really wanted a Bosch one. So anyway, I found it interesting. Mm-hmm. And if you want to know more about the saw stop and you're in the Evanston area, swing into Evanston Lumber. They've got them in stock. Bob's got them over there sitting in the shop. They're really cool. They've got mm-hmm. the portable ones, and they've got the full size the floor model, that stand-up floor model ones, too. So they've got a couple different versions, and it's really a cool product. Not inexpensive, but if you're using it every day, it might be worth it just
still
to have
cheaper
it.
Than finger attachment.
Yes, yes. That is true. So that is number one that was on the, whatever we call this segment, the news segment. And then shower leaks was another one. There was five quick points of where to look out for your shower leaks. If you have a full stand-up shower, not a tub shower combo, but the number one thing is
that'll probably raise it to six.
Yes, that would. There's issues that pop up all the time. The way we would build a shower stall today is completely different than in the past. You know, in the older In the 20s and 30s, you would use a lead pan, and then that would be attached to a drain, and then you pour concrete in there, and then you set your tile, and that's how you would make a base. The problem was,
aren't you?
Yeah.
I did one of the last additions I did in Beverly, that was City of Chicago, and they made me put a lead pan in.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know if that's still current.
Are they still lead pan?
I
just thought that was odd. At the time, I'm teaching lead safe work practices for the EPA, and the guy says, you got to put a lead pan in. I'm like, what are you guys, nuts?
Yeah.
But at City of Chicago, it's like, yeah, we're still in the 30s or 40s here.
Yeah. So. That was the way it used to be done. And now today, you know, obviously they've got things, different products to use, and you would want to wrap. And it's usually where you start getting leaks is around the the shower door areas and stuff like that. So that's really where you're going to find a lot of most of the issues anyway. So that's one place to look. And then the other part is right at the curb. If you don't wrap the liners up and over the curb properly, then water can leak down through there. That's another good area. And then also around your faucets, believe it or not, you'll get water leakage through there. So we'll talk a little bit more about this after the break. And
how about flame-throwing windows when we get back?
Oh, flame-throwing windows, too. So this you are listening to
Mighty House.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check him out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. And you can find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. Okay, and I know we got a couple of phone calls to get to here. 2 seconds. There.
Okay.
That'll make it better. Okay, cool.
All better? More better.
More better. Let's see. Let's go to line two, and I think it's another Rich, I believe. Is that correct? Hey, Richie, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, how you doing, Richie?
Good. Listen, I got a real interesting question and problem over here. A couple doors down from me, a guy, now I live in a place where the houses were built in the 1800s, early 1900s. So these houses in Chicago are right on top of each other. There's no gangway, there's nothing, okay? Well, this one gentleman a few doors down from me had his basement completely dug out about 2 feet. And put in all new sewer lines so he wouldn't get water and all of that. Well, a friend of mine lives right next door to him, and the foundation in her basement is cracking. It cracked really bad from all of the work that they were doing. He claims it's not his fault. He went in there and just jury-rigged and, you know, chipped away a little bit and put some cement in it. But I don't think that's a right repair. The concrete where it opened up is actually about a quarter of an inch, and it actually settled, so it's like it at that crack, it lifted up and settled toward the wall. What can she do about this?
How far apart are these houses?
You can't sneeze right next between to each other. They're not even a quarter of an inch apart.
Oh.
These are the old-fashioned homes that are built one right on top of the other.
Like a row house, townhouse deal.
Yeah, exactly, like that, okay? But this was built in the early 1900s. The one I'm living in three doors down from this was built in 1899. It doesn't even have a foundation.
Wow. Yeah.
It's got
limestone slabs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, those limestone footings are awesome.
So, well, that's where I live. Where she lives, she's got concrete walls.
Oh, wow, okay. That's good.
Well, I'll be honest with you. She could get an attorney and sue him, and I don't know where it'll end up. But we do something similar because all the houses on the coast, we put in piles. So we have to drive like 30 piles about 25 feet down. So we have an engineering company go into all of the neighbors' homes and record everything. And then we actually do seismic monitoring while the piles are being driven, because what's happening is totally common. You know, her basement may have been cracked before, and she never really cared about it. Now, all of a sudden, the guy does something next door, and it's all his fault. And I'm saying she's doing that, but we do it. We hire the firms to protect ourselves just from this case. I don't know that she can prove that it wasn't there before.
Right.
I got pictures of it because she had me go in there before they started and took pictures.
Oh,
and
well, there you go.
Well, if you've got that, then yes, then I would agree you're fine.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah.
The other thing is, if you've got pictures before and after, that's one thing. But if you look at it and it's a fresh crack, You know, especially for something that old, you might be able to tell that it was there. Or it could have been a hairline.
More white on the inside than full of dust.
Yeah, and it could have been a hairline crack. That,
this
you know,
isn't
just
hairline. This opened up a quarter of an inch. That's huge, right?
Yeah, no, I'm saying it could have been a hairline crack before, and then once they did all their, you know, jackhammering next door, all that vibration just opened it up. And I have seen some of those that don't have any foundations at all. They just dug, you know, down 4 feet and started pouring concrete walls. So, especially if it's an interior partition.
Yeah, right.
If it's an interior partition wall between two units, they may not have put footings underneath it either. So that may be part of the problem.
Anyway, bottom line, I think the best she can hope for is
like a lawyer would be the only real way.
Well, yeah.
What do you think about, like, you guys have Better Business Bureau advertise every now and then, or you do pieces with them. You think if she wrote them a letter, it might help her a little bit?
Probably not, because it's not. I mean, it could, but she didn't hire the contractor. It's the neighbor, so it's the neighbor's responsible as much as the contractor.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say all they really need to do, though, is grind out a half inch or 5/8 groove. They could route that or cut it with a grinder, and you epoxy and steel rebar, and it, you know what I mean, just to stabilize it. That's all you're going to do.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen what you just said, because I've done a lot of concrete work off and on, and, you know, the epoxy, it binds and it flexes with that that crack, so it's a better repair. They just, you know, chipped out a little bit and put concrete on top of it.
Right. Well, maybe the thing to do is call CRC Concrete Raising, and I don't believe they're on our homepage, on our, you know, team page yet, but Paul can probably come out and take a look at it and assess it and let you know, one, if it's bad, if it needs to be addressed, or if it's just a settling thing that's stopped, that he can then, you know, go ahead and do the epoxy injection and call it done. So, you can probably talk to him and get it worked out.
I mean, step one might be to just contact a structural engineer, have them come out and write up a quick report of what their feeling is, age of the crack, and, you know, whether or not it, because if it's a horizontal crack, it means the footing shifted.
Right.
If it's, you know, which is understandable if they dug up outside next door, it can sag a little. But if they poured the new foundation at the neighbor's house by using earth form, in other words, the dead wall, the outside wall, they just poured up against it, it should have already stabilized it. So now all you need to do is address the crack.
Correct. Correct.
Okay, that's why I called you. You guys are great. I mean, this is like, you guys should charge for some of the advice you guys give, because I was at a total, like, up in the air with this whole situation.
Yeah, no, you got a couple of good options there, and if you want, you can drop me an email, and I'll get you a structural engineer that can come out and take a look at it, too, if you want. So
let me see what
that would
she
be the best place
to
start,
because she's going to have to pay for that. So, before I contact you about that, I'll make sure that
that's what
she's
she wants
willing
to do
that,
right?
And go from there.
Okay.
So, no, cool. Thanks a lot.
All right, good. Thanks,
hey,
Richie.
Thanks for the call, Richie.
All right,
bye.
And I just want to mention, I do have amazing experts with me every Saturday morning from 7 o'clock until 10 o'clock in the morning.
Where?
Here.
Oh,
1590, right here. You know what? You, Rich and Ron, not related, by the way. Rich Cowgill and Ron Cowgill. Ben, you probably didn't know that they weren't related.
I had to ask last week. I thought they were related.
Yeah, they're not. Isn't that bizarre?
Everybody makes that assumption. They're always like, well, your brother's over there. And I'm like, no, he's in Georgia.
So these two guys can answer just about any question. They could answer questions just like they did about
foundations.
Foundations, roof repair, leaks, plumbing, electrical, carpentry. Rich knows every code in the country. Every
no,
yes,
that
no,
might
he
be
does.
A bit of a stretch, but I know a lot of them. Yes, but
yeah,
thanks.
Yeah, he reads code books in his spare time, and I'm not kidding. So, if you have a question, now is the time to call Trixie and say hello and get on the air with us. 847-475-1590. It's been a long time since we've had people just call Trixie and say hello. So 847-475-1590, just like...
Paul?
Paul is calling right now.
Let's go to Paul. Hey, Paul.
Hello.
What's from Michigan?
Yes, I'm Paul, the guy that wrote the email epistle last week.
Oh, okay, good. Go ahead. Your question?
Well, first, the update on the concrete removal.
Okay.
There is an easy way to do it. I thought I'd just pass it on.
Okay. Yeah, let us know.
When I pulled the range out and crawled underneath, there's a 3/4-inch plywood base.
Mm-hmm.
I knew there was a plywood base there. But when you undercut that, you can now flex the concrete and crack it.
Oh, so did they put wire in there or not?
Yeah, there was an aluminum mesh halfway down, but once you've cracked it, you can see where it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I just took a little roto tool with the carbide blade, and I cut the mesh.
Okay.
And then it just, obviously at that point, it's just a free slab.
So right, and it just
slides right off.
It slid right off of there. So was the plywood screwed down to the cabinets then?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. So they did it right.
They did it right. It comes off in a solid piece, and because I had not subtracted the amount, you know, the volume I was calculating for the concrete was wrong.
Uh huh.
I hadn't adjusted for the plywood, so it's a lot lighter than I thought.
Yeah, yeah. There, you know, especially when that was probably what 3/4-inch thick of concrete, or somewhere in there.
No, it was still almost 2 inches of concrete.
Really? Wow, yeah. They poured that pretty thick.
It looked like it was 3 inches from the outside.
Uh-huh.
Gotcha, yeah.
Yeah.
I've only made concrete countertops once, and I used 3/8 rebar in them for that reason. You know, you do a grid. No, you do. You put rebar in them. And it was so funny. And so we got the two pieces made, and we were trying to carry them to the back to this guy's house to put them on his, like, outside tiki bar.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, my God, this stuff's heavy. It's like concrete. You know what I mean? Duh. It was brutal, so I feel your pain, dude, trying to take them tops off. That's why I said just hit them and sweep it up.
Yeah, well, and you know, I've done them. I just did them. I poured them in place. I kind of did them more like what Paul's got, where we screw the plywood down, and then we just, mm-hmm. you know, make a form on the front, on the face of it, mm-hmm. and then we just pour them in place. So that's the way I've done them. But it's still, either way works really well.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
they're
interesting.
So now what are you putting down, Paul?
Oh, there's going to be the quartz.
Oh, cool.
Nice.
Yeah, that we're getting those with the new counters. But now I'm going up above.
Oh.
I have to work out how I am doing the lighting.
Okay.
Ah. Do you want lighting in the ceiling, or do you mean under cabinet lighting?
I know the under cabinet lighting. I'm talking about the ceiling.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
So there's recessed cans.
3-inch LED cans.
Yeah. They
exactly.
Make, yep. They make those, and they really work really, really well.
I love them.
Yeah, I want to put 5 in.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
One over the sink, and then 4, you know, the refrigerator, the range, the hallway, essentially, and the pantry.
Cool. All
right. Makes a nice little.
Yeah, that'll do it. Hey, we got to take a break here, Paul. I appreciate the phone call.
All right.
Cool. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Paul.
All right, bye. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to...
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House.
I just let him do it.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on it.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is @MightyHouse. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at
MrFloor.com.
MrFloor.com. There we go. Okay, cool.
And if you're wondering,
yeah,
where's Mike Novak going to be this week?
Yeah.
Usually he's in here like knocking on the studio door.
Hey, you, what's up?
Yeah, he and Peggy Malecki, like, we're in. Get us on the air. We need to be here now. I'm like, come on, it's only 8 o'clock. You don't get on till 10. You don't. Isn't that nice language of mine? Wow. You know, it's too early for me. I'm not used to this. Anyway.
Good.
They will be at the Good Food Festival. Mike Novak will be there with Peggy Malecki. They will be broadcasting live from the Good Food Festival from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. It's at the UIC Forum. The Good Food Festival will be held today from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m. If you'd like more information, you could go to Mike Novak's page. You can go to Good Food Festival, find out more information, or you could listen to them on the radio, or you could visit them in person. You
are they broadcasting their show live from there?
They are.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get an autograph, too.
From who?
From Peggy.
From Mike. Oh, Peggy. Yeah, I think everybody should go ask Peggy for her autograph.
And not Mike.
Yes. And then just say, is that your husband? Who is that guy? Is that your handler? Peggy, is that your bodyguard?
Yeah.
Because that would be funny.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
Because, you know, it's all about making Robbie laugh.
Yes. And that would be hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good.
Do it.
So where is this again?
At the UIC Forum.
Okay. That's like down in the city.
Trixie, anything to add to this?
No.
No.
She's saying no.
No.
That's it.
Okay. Did anybody call you just to say hello like we asked? 847-475-1590. Call us with a question, man.
Or just call and talk to Trixie. She likes talking to people. She has her own little show going on back there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, you know, the phone's ringing constantly, but no, they just want to talk to me.
Yeah, ask her if she's going out for St. Patrick's weekend number 2.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Is that crazy? And only in Chicago.
Why'd they do it last weekend and now again this weekend?
I don't know.
Well, yesterday's actually St. Patrick's. Today's St. Joseph's Day.
Oh.
Speaking of only in Chicago.
Yeah.
Chicken walking down the road.
No.
Yeah. Our neighborhood
it escaped.
Yes. Our neighborhood has a chicken that's been there for years. It's beautiful. I don't know.
One?
One chicken. I don't know the names of chickens, you know, like the breed.
Oh.
I can't tell the difference between a rooster and a chicken.
Why?
I don't know.
The rooster goes cock-a-doodle-doo. And the chicken goes. There you go.
When I talk to the. Never mind. He talks back. Okay, uh-huh. Never mind. But there's a beautiful one. He's kind of has a white chest but blue feathers that kind of go up. It's gorgeous. Anyway, he lives in the neighborhood. And now, last weekend, there was another one, a big, heavy, black one. Mm-hmm. And it was walking just up and down the street.
Yeah.
So I'm like trying to get it.
Exercising? Because it was too fat?
I'm just trying to get it out of the street, and it wasn't really afraid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was cautious, but it wasn't really afraid. And it was bleeding. I saw it bleeding. So oh my gosh. So then I went out later, and it was still there, and I tried to feed it, but the only thing I had was fried rice. So I don't know if it was.
No.
So I go to feed the chicken, and I'm thinking, you know, what do you put in fried rice? You put egg.
Why didn't you give him a cheeseburger?
I don't know. I didn't have much in the house. So I go out to feed the chicken fried rice, and there's 3 deer just standing there watching the chicken walk back and forth and back. And
so do the deer eat fried rice?
I threw it at them. I mean, not at them, you know.
To them.
So the deer, people are driving by, and this is a little street with woods on both sides, mm-hmm. so it's kind of hard to get by. So the chicken's walking back and forth. The deer are there. And I'm trying. And then,
Robbie.
And me. Yeah, exactly. My sister has a picture of this. It's very funny. So then later somebody posts. We have like this neighborhood site and someone posts and says, did you see the chicken? You know, people are like, oh, that's the neighborhood chicken. I'm like, no, it's not the neighborhood chicken. And so people are like, oh. And so I said, going. And so I said, it's injured. And people are like, oh, my gosh, can anybody catch it? And I said, I think you can catch it. So then a lady went out like 2 hours later at 9 o'clock at night.
Oh,
and
no.
She threw a blanket over it. Uh-huh. And she scooped it up and she brought it home. And so she was feeding it. And then she took it to a farm.
No.
Yes. Only in Chicago can you walk down the street and see a crazy lady throwing fried rice at a chicken while 3 deer are standing 12 inches away watching it.
Going, check this woman out.
She's nuts.
She's throwing rice at a chicken. What? I mean, come on, really?
I know. And cars are just driving by going, is that your chicken? I'm like, nope. That's it. Nope.
Just cook it.
So nobody in the neighborhood is missing a chicken?
No. I knocked on the house, on the door of the house of the people who have the chickens.
Uh-huh.
And it was not their rooster.
Rooster?
It was a rooster.
Oh, it was for sure.
I'm sorry. Yes. And he couldn't take it because you can only have one rooster.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not a law or anything, but that's just, you know, law of the barn.
Right.
You can only have one rooster.
Yep.
But unfortunately, what happens in our neighborhood is there, forgive me if I'm saying this wrong, Santorini ritual sacrifices happens in our woods.
Oh, really?
A lot. And it's...
So the rooster escaped.
The rooster escaped. That happens all the time.
What kind of place do you live in?
It's, I think it was like a Cuban or a Caribbean religion. It's a religion. And they respect saints. They something uh-huh. with saints. It's a religion. And they drink the blood and they eat the chicken. Uh-huh. But they do this in the woods. It's a ritual. It's not like a satanic thing or anything like that.
Okay.
But they do it in the woods. And we get chickens in there all the time.
Okay.
So the people who do breed chickens.
Right. Yeah.
They put notes up all the time going, it's not mine. They just have signs in front of their house. That chicken is not mine because everybody knocks on their door.
Oh, really?
Because there's a couple people in our neighborhood who raise chickens.
Wow.
But it was a beautiful, I should post a picture. Okay, I'm going to do that. I'll post a picture of me in the middle of the street with cars driving by.
Nice.
Okay, I'm sorry to hijack that conversation. Sorry, Rich.
It's all good.
Yeah, it all works.
And that would be robbie@mightyhouse.net if you would like to comment on the crazy lady.
On the chicken. Yeah, okay. let's go to Jeff on line two. Hey, Jeff, you're on Mighty House.
Good morning, Ron, Robbie.
You have a question about your chicken?
And Rich?
No, hi, Jeff.
I'm sitting here amazed. You know, Robbie, you're just...
Crazy?
You just amazed me.
I'm
no,
nuts.
No, not crazy. Nuts. Maybe a little eccentric, you know, throwing fried rice at deer and chicken.
I didn't hit... Okay, first of all, Jeff, what do chickens eat?
Bugs?
They eat cornmeal and chicken feet,
right.
Stuff like that. Not
I don't
rice.
Have,
chickens,
I don't have
chickens will
chicken
also
feet.
Eat other chickens.
I don't have chicken feet at my house, so I open the refrigerator and I'm like, fried rice.
How long has this been going on, Robbie?
Caraway seeds.
How long have you seen chickens in your backyard or wherever
it
is?
Stop it.
How long has it been going on? More than a week? More than a month?
I know. I need help.
So then what you should do is go buy some chicken feed so you can feed the chickens.
That's actually a good idea. Just have it ready for me.
They like dandelions and marigolds.
There you go. See? Be proactive.
Yeah.
Thank you. I will.
Cool.
They also like canola oil at 350 degrees.
Mr. Floor, I'm sorry. I have to say, Aaron, Mr. Floor.
Yeah?
He wants to know if it was chicken fried rice.
Chickens are cannibalistic, so
you're a
no
funny, funny man.
Cool. Yeah, okay, so yes, Jeff,
chickens will fight.
We've distracted you long enough, Jeff. What do you call about?
Actually, spray foam insulation in attics.
Okay.
Right now, my attic is insulated at the floor. I've got the old story in the half, three quarter, 1920 frame house.
Okay.
So and there's a walk up to it, but. And I've got full vented soffits.
Okay.
So could I spray foam? How can I spray foam my interior attic to get it even more sealed up? And do I have to get rid of the vented soffits if I do that?
Well, if you want to, are you going to use that attic space, or are you going to just leave
well,
it?
Well, we use it now for storage and stuff.
Okay.
You know.
Does it matter if anything up there freezes?
The heater's up here, so it's not going to freeze.
Oh, you've got a furnace up there. Oh, well, then then I would do an unvented roof structure, and that way you just spray the backside of the roof. You can block off those vents in the soffit and then spray the backside of the roof, and now that whole attic area will become conditioned space. And if you've got...
I have to get rid of the unvented soffits if I do this.
Correct.
Well, you can actually leave this. You can leave the vents in the soffit. The idea is when they spray foam down the backside of the roof, they close off where the roof... The rafters sit on top on the top plates, so once that's all foamed all the way down to the top plate, the soffit vents don't work anymore. The air will just be in them.
Yeah, but I got 18-inch soffits, so what's going to happen to that last 18 inches hanging over? That's not going to get
nothing.
Sprayed.
That's outside your house. That'll stay frozen in the winter, which is good because then you won't get ice damming. And then from the top plate to the roof and all the way up, you now have increased the building envelope. And your utility bills will go down, especially if you've got a furnace up there.
Yes.
So I've got to seal off the top plates, too.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're going to come down the roof and then down to your top plates. So you'll block that all off. So if you
But that said, you do not have to remove the soffit vents. They're going to become inoperable because there's no airflow anyway. So, yeah.
So you said
you have to enclose that.
Yeah, you said there's a 4.5-inch gap between there?
Yeah, sure, because the two by six is sitting on top of the top plate.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So right. You've got a raised heel. That's cool. That's how it should be built anyway. So you could just, you know, they'll block that off, and then they'll frame down foam right over it.
Keep saying they. That's going to be neat.
Oh, well, you're gonna spend a lot of money buying all those boxes of foam.
Yeah.
And it's actually going to – you would save money by calling Innovative Insulation and just having them come out and spray it.
Well, I'm probably going to do that, but I just wanted to know what kind of project I'm in for.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, I would call Mike and Richard over at Innovative Insulation, and just gotfoaminsulation.com is the website.
Yeah, I've already.
Yeah, so talk to them. They'll come out. They can give you a quote, and they'll vacuum out all the old stuff, too, if you want, which is really slick. That way you get rid of all that old fiberglass and whatever else is in there.
Well, right. There's fiberglass batting underneath. Yeah, the board. So I just leave that, right?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can leave that.
All right, we got to take a break, Jeff. I appreciate the phone call.
Bye.
All right, we'll be
back.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.
See, I work construction. I build things. I don't know if y'all realize the pressure a man like me's got on him.
This is Mighty House.
Mighty House is brought to you by Mr. Floor. For more information, you can check them out at MrFloor.com. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 847-475-1590, you'll have a chance to win some Mr. Floor cleaning products. They're all non-toxic and environmentally safe. And you can learn more at MrFloor.com. All right, there we go. Did you go get your blueprints out, Rich?
Yep.
So are you ready to rock? You ready to roll?
We're ready to go.
Okay. Then let's see. Oh, hey, look at that. I got this ready then, too.
Okay, Sparky.
All right. So this week's tip of the week is continuation of the last few weeks. So I've been talking about
part four in a series, right?
And should be the last part.
Okay.
But it's a series of what should be on your blueprints and what you should be looking for and why it's important prior to sending anything out to bid. So this puts more on the owner and the architect to complete things before you even send it out for bid.
And if you've missed any of the previous episodes of the Tip of the Week, you can go to MightyHouse.net, click on the On Demand page, and go in there, and you can tab back through the previous weeks and listen to them all. Or if you just want to read it, you can go to the blog page. So click on the blog page, and then you'll be able to go there and just read it all. It's all right there.
Well, I would use it like as a checklist.
Yes.
And that's the reason for putting it up on the blog, because I think it's actually really important. So the last section, let's talk about the elevations and cross sections. So these can be interior or exterior. Interior elevations are usually only needed for custom areas like built-ins, wall details. How about your shower tile details? You know, So you're going to bid a new shower for somebody, right, Ron? How do you bid that? You just go, okay, I'm going to tile the shower.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come in with four different tiles, and they want crosses and listels and things.
Right. What's a listel? Those
listels? Listels are decorative trim tile, and they could be like pencil moldings. They could be 3-inch strips. And some of these can cost, $200 a square foot.
Yes.
For some of these trim tiles.
Yes. Yes, it is.
So how do you bid that if it's not called out?
I'm
going to give you a $500 tile allowance, and you're going to pick out a $200 square foot trim?
Yep. It's $8 a square foot is the allowance, and then you turn around and say straight and square only.
Mm-hmm.
So no diamond
patterns.
So that's going to
tell you how your patterns are laid out.
Yep.
The drawing should show what trim goes around windows and doors. Mm-hmm. Are you using ranch style, colonial style, 3-inch, 4-inch? What's the base look like? How tall is it? All that stuff needs to get called out, and then you'll get accurate bids.
But we don't know any of that, Rich.
You should. Before you put it out to bid, you go make choices. Go visit Evanston Lumber.
How do I know that I need to make these choices?
Because you would be reviewing
Rich's
checklist.
Because I'm telling you right now.
You would have Rich's
Smart
checklist.
Smart Alec, we're going to get calls about that, Rich.
No, that's why we do this, is to help you. That's why we're doing this, because you need to know all that stuff. Hmm. So, you know, like anything over 7 inches tall, or, you know, we do a lot of 12-inch tall base. Like right now what's really popular is just a 12-inch tall base with a rabbit on the edge on the top, like a square edge. And it's very clean looking.
Not even
so we put
what's,
the outlets
what's
right
the name
in the
of the rabbit? What's the name of the rabbit?
It's a rabbit. R-A-B-B-E-T. Rabbit. All right. So on the cross sections, though, you're usually going to also going to show things like the pitch of the roof, whether or not your roof is new or existing. You know, you want to start calling out, like if it's a remodel, it'll say new or existing. You want to show grades. You know, the dirt around your house, you want to call out if that's new or existing. Top
it's an
of foundation,
A. You get
floors.
A B sometimes. Sometimes a C if you're not doing very good.
It's dirty dirt. I don't know. It's
no, but you should have numbers showing, you know, the height. So you need top of foundation, your finished floor line, the second floor line. Wall height should be called out. And then, again, we talked earlier about the key numbers from the floor plan. Those should be on your elevations also, showing which windows and doors go where. And the windows, if they're casements, should always show swing lines. In other words, you have what looks like a dashed line coming to a point, mm-hmm. and that would always point towards the hinge side. So that would dictate whether the window is a hinge left or a hinge right, so that your window order is correct.
Look at that.
Yeah. Now, I don't usually put specific material callouts on elevations because you really have four elevations, right? Front, left, right, rear. Mm-hmm. So what I do is I use the wall cross section. Now, the wall cross section is just a typical wall section showing from the footing all the way up to the top of the roof. And that's typically where I'll make out all my call-outs for the type of siding, brick, shingle, everything. And the reason being is that I only have to do it in one location.
Right.
So if you as the homeowner change your mind about something, I only have to go to the wall section to change it.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes it much easier. But that wall section is going to tell you if it's got half-inch or 5/8 drywall. It's going to tell you the R value of the insulation, the wall stud size, ceiling, joists, roof rafters or trusses, plywood on the roof, how thick it is. You can call out your, you know, whether ice and water shield, shingles, and pick out the styles then. You know, is it aluminum soffit? Is it Miratec? You know, so you have to get all that stuff called out on there. And then, so there's some additional drawings you could have, but you could have like the roof plan, and that'll show where the old roof meets, or the new roof meets the old roof, type of roofing. It could show crickets or skylights.
Mm-hmm.
And crickets are like the little roofs you build behind chimneys and stuff to deflect
no.
water.
No, you don't need those.
Oh, no, you just put a big flashing there, let the water rush to the
exactly.
to the masonry.
Exactly.
No, need crickets.
Yep.
So,
yeah.
I usually actually draw out even the gutter lines around the house and then position the downspouts, and you put a little arrow showing which way the water is going to go, because you cannot deflect water or push water to your neighbors. It should always go front to rear.
At least legally.
Front or rear.
You can't do it legally.
Right. And then some towns require plumbing riser diagrams.
Uh-huh.
And the plumbing riser diagrams, when I had to draw those, I hated them. Besides that, especially in Chicago, you get all great union plumbers. They don't look at that. They know how to do it better than I can draw it.
So,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you know, the latest one is now they are requiring those, what's that called, the ISO diagram? Is that what that's called when you have to draw that? So you do that for your plumbing stacks. You do that for your
isometric drawings, right?
Right. So you're doing your ISOs for water, your hot and cold waters, and your drain, and you got to show all that.
Right.
Like the plumber's actually going to follow it. They're going to go wherever they have to get the thing done. It's a colossal waste of time.
It is, and the code's actually so stupid simple. You know, if you have 3/4-inch line to within 10 feet of fixtures, from there it has to be 1/2 inch.
Right.
Your drains are 3-inch for toilets, 2-inch for showers, 1.5-inch, or 2-inch for a kitchen, 1.5-inch everywhere else.
Yeah.
Who cares? And it's like anything else. If it's back pitched, I'm pretty sure it's the plumber's going to have to fix it.
Yeah. Are you ready for this one now? The latest one is they wanted isometric drawings for the radon pipe, the passive radon pipe going from the basement to the attic.
Oh, so a straight vertical line?
But they wanted
to
see
it.
Well,
the thing is, okay, well, as a rule, isometric drawings are done on 30 and 60 degree angles.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually what makes them pain in the butt to draw, because most computer programs like 45s.
Right.
Rich.
So, like my program, it would snap to 45s, and I had to always try to get to 30s and 60s to do the isometrics. I hate doing them things.
I did them by hand. It was just easier.
Isn't it? That's
Rich.
Where it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
We just went way over her head.
Yeah, you guys were supposed to be helping homeowners.
And do you think we did it?
Well, no. I mean, yes, but no.
No. Why not?
Well,
because
I would say if you're
isometric, I don't know.
Isometric is a style of drawing that, again, it's just showing your plumbing layouts.
It's almost like lines, a 3D kind of drawing.
Right. It's exactly what it is.
It's like a 3D drawing of where the pipes are going to go. And
but that concludes my four-week series of drawing stuff.
I think it was five.
Which means next week I'm going to have to actually write another tip of the week, which is fine. But seriously, if you're about to start an addition or you're thinking about a new house, go to the blog page, download that, and use this as a checklist. I think if you do this, you're going to find out it's going to be much easier to get pricing apples to apples.
Yes, and it'll make it a lot easier. We'll be back after the news.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.